After Kedesh Shabbat, a very enjoyable Shabbat, you guys. So on Motzei Shabbat, we said Kiddush Levana. And I saw that a few of you were kind of not so used to Kiddush Levana. So it could be that, at home you're used to going to Shul Friday night, going to Shul Shabbos morning. Maybe you don't always make it Shabbos afternoon, Shabbos Motzei Shabbat. So I thought it would be a good idea to introduce people to what Kiddush Levana is. In fact, we even had a whole plan. Gabe Dynam and I worked out a great plan that I was going to give Shir on something else. And in the middle, I just planted a question. He was going to say, but Rabbi, what does this have to do with Kiddush Levana? And then we were starting to discuss Kiddush Levana or something like that. But instead, I'm just going to give the whole Shir on Kiddush Levana. Okay?
So,
Gabe, you can't do it. I'm sorry. So let's try to figure out what we're doing and what are the luck parameters of Kiddush Levana. So it all comes from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Okay, let's see the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Source 1 and 2, and we'll try to work out some of the details and figure out what we're doing here. Okay, Amar of Acha Barchinim, Rav Asim, Rav Yochanan, Ad Kamam of Barchim al HaChodesh. So one question, obviously, is what is the timing for it? So here we're not so asking, notice the Gemara is not so much asking when it begins, but when it ends. And to when can you say Kiddush Levana? So the answer is, Ad Shetit Malei Pegimata. What's the Pegam of something? Well, Pegam means blemish. In this context, what does it mean? David Adler? Yeah, very good. Meaning, in what sense is the moon blemished? Because from our human perspective, right, we see it get smaller and smaller till it vanishes, right? And then it comes back. Obviously, when it comes back, that's Rosh Chodesh. So until when can you say it? Till the blemish is filled. So at some point, apparently the bracha is meant to be made when the moon is growing. We're excited that the moon has come back, as it were. But once it's full, it's too late. So when is that? Amar Yaakov Yidi, Amar Yehuda Ad Shiva. So one position is only 7 days of the month. After 7 days already, it's full enough that we can't make the bracha anymore. Naradayamar at Shisha Asar. Okay, why would till the 16th make a lot of sense? Why would it make a lot of sense? Yeah, basically halfway through the lunar cycle, of course, is when it's full. So as long as it's getting fuller, right, you can make the bracha. That's why we never make Kiddush Levana in the second half of the month. Right, the second half of the month, it's already decreasing. We want to make the bracha when it's increasing, and now when it's decreasing. Okay, so we still don't know what it's about, but we do know that it's something about the timing. Again, either the first quarter of the month, as it were, or the first half of the month. We're all good so far? Great. So let's go to the next point, Sanhedrin. Okay, now we go to source 2. So just the next page. You make the brach in the proper time. So somehow there's like a greeting of God going on in Kiddush Levana. And a classic rabbinic drasha. Okay, what are we connecting? What are we connecting here? Zeh and Zeh. One is about Chodesh Hazeh, is about the new moon. Zekhem is about the experience of God in which story?
Yamsuf.
In what?
Yamsuf.
Good. So that's why it's Kabbalah Pnei Shechina. Fine. Tanei Rebbe Shmuel, Imalei Lo Zach Yisrael, Bil Pnei Rebbe Shabayim, Al Chodesh Dayam. If we only merited to do this once a month, that would be sufficient. Amar Abaye, Hilkoch Nermenum Umar. Okay, we got another halachic detail. What does Abaye add? It should be said?
Standing.
So since it's an act of Kabbalah Pnei Shechina, it's supposed to be said standing. Yes, JJ.
I don't understand it. If you did a word count in the Torah about the word zeh, it would probably come up like 100 times. So how do they possibly draw?
Okay, so I would suggest that this Zer Shem is not actually the source of the idea. They had the idea first, and they looked for a drasha afterward. Okay, because you're right. Zeh is not the most convincing Zer Shem in Jewish history. Yeah.
Is there a thing with Zer Shem?
It's a larger topic how Zer Shem has worked, but I'm going to duck it for now. Okay, we're good. Okay, great. Let's go back to the Gemara. Mareima Marzutra Mechatve Hadadi. Mavarcha. They would lean on each other's shoulders, right? Mechatve in the word Ktefayim, and they made the bracha. Amalei Ravacha Rav Ravashi. Bimarava, in the west. Where's the west?
Israel.
Mavarchi Baruch Mechadesh Chadashim. They say a short text. Baruch Mechadesh Chadashim. Amalei, so Ravashi responded, Hi, Nashi Didanan Baruchi. That's such a short text. Even our women make that bracha. Okay, now, arguably, what does that imply? Well, that women weren't as knowledgeable, but what about Kiddush Levana? But maybe it's a mitzvah that does apply to women. Okay, we can come back to this, because you might know that it's very common in the Jewish community that women don't make Kiddush Levana. Okay, but we're going to see, arguably, you say, wait, read this Gemara. Sounds like women should make Kiddush Levana. Right? They are capable of making this short version. Yeah. We'll discuss that. It'll be the last source of the day. I hope you get to it.
What is that?
Okay. Zach said, isn't it a classic mitzvah that says Shizman Grama? Okay. We will see if that's true or not. Yeah, Jonah.
The word kind of sounds like it's so short that even a woman can say it. Like it's not
I see, it's not claiming women actually do say it.
Right.
Okay, you can make that claim, John. We'll come back to that. Very good. Ela kedrav Yehuda. So basically, when he's putting down the bracha, that's not much of a bracha. A three-word bracha, Baruch Mechadesh Chadashim, says, no, there's a longer text. And this, those who say Kiddush Havana will recognize this text. Damar Yehuda, Baruch Asher, B'maro, Baruch Shkakim, Baruch B'kotzram, Chok Uzman Natan Lehem, Shelo Yishanu Et Tafkidam. Lo Yishanu Et Tafkidam? They don't change from their tafkid, their job. Meaning, what are we praising? What's the first theme of the bracha? The natural order really works, right? The moon does its thing every month. Okay? Lo Yishanu Et Tafkidam. Sasim Usmechim La'asod V'tzion Konam. They're happy to do the work of their maker. Po'ale Emet Shepulatan Emet. Okay, what are... Who are Po'ale Emet? Two workers. Who's it a reference to? The sun and the moon, right? The planets, great job. The sun, it does its thing every day. So it's great. Okay, now here's a good example where like one little letter can make a difference. Okay, let us go to Tosfot and Source 4. Okay, everyone knows the word Girsa? Whenever you see the word Girsa or Garsi, what's going on? Right, there's more than one version of the text. Right, I often point out, guys, I know we don't think about this, but imagine before printing. Imagine if you wanted a copy of the Talmud. What did that entail? Can I imagine copying Shas by hand? Not for the faint of heart. And scribes did a good job. They were very serious about it. But you copy all of Shas by hand, occasionally an error is going to creep in. So often, in the Middle Ages, there might have been two manuscripts. One said this, and one said that. Right? And now you're trying to figure out, what is the right Girsa? What is the correct Girsa? So let's take a look at Tosfos in source form. Kolei Emet. Pirush HaKuntresh Ein Mishanen Et Sidran. Ve'id Garas. And as soon as you see the word Garas, you know, it's another version. Poel Emet. But it's very subtle. What shifted? Oh, very good. Who was that? Excellent, David Lipschitz. David Lipschitz is a force to be reckoned with. Okay, apparently on the basketball court also, right, David? Okay, so Poel Emet becomes Poel Emet. Right, Poel would be workers. Poel would be the worker. Wait, if it's Poel, that shifts everything, though. Who's it about? V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Kai. What does he want to claim? If it's plural, it's about all the planetary objects. But if it's singular, maybe the Poel Emet is actually God. Now, what is he an Emet about? Shebemet uvedin miata. Where is he getting at now? It would switch themes all of a sudden. What theme do we have now? In what way was God a Poel Emet vis-a-vis the moon? Someone get here. Let's go. Bemet uvedin miata. What's he referencing? Famous midrash. Where's Urlorcus when you need him? Okay. David Lipschitz. Excellent, right? Famous midrash. First, in the created in Bereshit Paragal, the fourth day. What does it say? God created Shnei Hamarot Hagdolim, Etamor Hagadol L'mshel Hayom, Etamor Hakatan L'mshel Halayla. So, in classic midrashic fashion, it can't resist. It says, "Wait!" In the first part of the pasuk, it says Shnei Hamarot Hagdolim, and then it moves on to Mor Hagadol Mor Hakatan. What happened? I guess they used to be equal, but something shifted and one became big, one became small. Now, before we get to that beautiful midrash, in simple pshat, what's the pshat answer? Yeah, when you say Shnei or Golem, you're not necessarily conveying they're equal size. They're just both bigger in relation to other things. Right? You can say Shnei or Golem and then say Mora Gadol and Mora Katan. That being said, though, Rashi quotes the midrash that the moon complained you can't have two people in charge, me and the sun, so the God says, okay, you get smaller. Okay, so what's the claim now? Getting back to this Tosfot, what's the Poel Emet theme? God was Emet when he made it small. That was a true judgment. It was a just judgment. Now, if we go back to the text of the Brach, let's go back to source 2. We'll see, this would be a good transition. Let's see what the transition is. Ulvana Amar, what does God say to the moon? Shetit Chadesh, what's going to happen to the moon? It'll be renewed. Ateret Tefer Lamusei Vaten, Shehein Atidin L'Chadesh Kimota. Then now things get nice, guys. I think you're going to start to like Kiddush Havana. Okay, and the moon is like the Amusei Baten. Who are the Amusei Baten? Who? No, anybody? Who's Amusei Baten? Who's coming out of the womb here? Yeah, the Jews. Am Yisrael. Good. And notice this phrase, Shehein Atidin Chadesh Kimota. They will be renewed also. So the other theme of Kiddush Havana is basically the moon waxes and wanes, right? It's not steady like the sun. And that's kind of a metaphor for Jewish history. We have difficult times, but somehow we're always able to make a comeback and go on. So now just to sum up the bracha, I think we have two or three themes. Right? We start with the theme of just recognizing the majesty of the created order. Right? That is the first part. Lo yishanu et tafkidam, right? The natural order just works. Then Poel Emet is either part of the first theme or the second theme, right? Poel Emet is either about the moon and the sun, or it's Poel Emet about God. But then we're shifting to this idea of the moon getting smaller. So there's this envisioning of one day the moon will be get enlarged. But that shifts to the last thing, the moon getting enlarged, is really a symbol for Am Yisrael being able to flourish after difficult times. You ever got it? Those are the themes of Kiddush Levana. Okay, great. Let's now go to a little bit more about when to make the bracha. Okay, so let's go to source 5. Okay, this is interesting to know about. You should be aware of it. Okay, if you ever go to a Vilna Shas and go to the back of Avodah Zarah, okay, the same Vilna Shas, what do you discover? Something called the Masechtot Ketanot. They are small Masechtot. They're not really part of Shas. They're actually post-Talmudic. They're from like the 800s. Okay, one of them is called Masechet Sofrim, and a lot of halakhic practice actually comes from Masechet Sofrim. Yes, Zach?
Just going back for a second to the reasons that you talked about how we did Kiddush Levana. Thinking about, you know, looking at the root and using that as sort of like a vehicle in order to proclaim God's like incredible.
Okay.
Like that. Isn't that like directly what Rambam worries against in the first kind of Kiddush Levana?
Okay, except for. Well, okay, that's a very good question, Zach. What would be really problematic going to Rambam if I did what? If I addressed the moon. If I said, moon, you're the greatest, I'm going to worship you because God wants me to worship you. Right? But here, you're using the moon as a means of being inspired to worship God. I think even Rambam could come to terms with that. You're not using the moon. The moon's not an intermediary to be worshipped. Right? The moon is just a source of inspiration.
Look, I'm looking at it right now, and I don't really see.
Can I take your position to a ridiculous extreme? Is that okay?
Yeah,
okay, I know it's unfair, but it's a good mode in argumentation, right? To reduct you ad absurdum. Okay, according to you, maybe I shouldn't be able to make a bracha when I see the rainbow, right? Because that's rainbow worship. Ah, so you want to hear a great vert? That's very good. Okay, there's a professor at Stern College named David Schatz. He's like a well-known Orthodox Jewish philosophy professor. So I'm going to say the line first, and then I'll explain if you get it. He once said, one man's reductio ad absurdum is another man's ein hachinami. Okay, you guys understand? Do I have to explain it? Mayor, do I have to explain it? Okay. Okay, what is a reductio ad absurdum argument? Right, you try to get your opponent by pushing his argument further and further. Really, if you say this, you should say that. If you say that, you should say that. Right, until you get to the point of just absurdly extreme. Okay, that's you try to reduce it to an absurdity. Reductio ad absurdum. Okay, but of course, what's one option that your opponent might have all the time? When you say, you should say B, you should say C, he could just keep saying, yeah, I agree, we should say that. Like, why not? Oh, I'll give you a great example, guys. This comes up in Shas. I once coined a good rule. Never do reductio ad absurdum to a fanatic. It's never going to work. So here's a great example, guys. There's a Gemara in Baba Batra where people are very upset after Churban Bayit. So they say, we can't eat meat anymore because meat reminds us of carbono. So we're not going to eat any meat. So Reb Yehuda has something clever. He wants to get them to stop. He says, I have a great idea. I'm going to infiltrate the group, and I'll do, he doesn't say this word, but I'll do reductio ad absurdum. See, he says, no, you guys shouldn't eat bread anymore, because bread should remind you of carbon mincha, flour offerings. He says, right, great argument, right? So they say, yeah, you're right, we cut out bread. So then he says, you shouldn't eat fruit anymore, because fruit's going to remind you about the bikurim. So they say, yeah, we've got our fruit. Okay, so it's really, don't do reductio ad absurdum to fanatic. But even that you give in eventually, guys. It's going about Batu Dav Samach. Then he says, well, you shouldn't have any water, because water reminds you of Nisuch HaMayim. But they finally gave in. They said, okay, you're right. Okay, so I guess everybody has their breaking point at some point. Okay, but, okay, so you just did it, Zach. I tried to reduct you ad absurdum, you just told me enough inami. Right? No, but again, even in Rambam, there has to be some category where, like, aspects of the world can inspire you and talk to God, right? No? Okay, we're good? Okay, so let's go back to Masechet Sofer. Okay. The aim of Arkan al Yarech el b'motzei Shabbat k'shehu mivusam. Okay, good word. Now you might have noticed that we tend to always do this on Saturday night, which is kind of interesting, right? In theory, maybe you should just do it whenever the moon comes. New moon comes, let's just make Kiddush Levana. We like to wait for Saturday night. This is the source. The Gemara never says this. Ain't no waiting until Saturday night, but Mr. Zechman Sofer says it. What's this phrase? K'mivusam? So it could be in relation to Besamim, but it sounds like maybe there's something like happy or festive at that moment. Right? That's a good time to do Kiddush Levana. When you're you smell something good, you're in the more festive mode. We'll come back to this shortly. And now, notice the bracha is the real Kiddush Levana. Right? You start with the bracha, then we throw in all kinds of things. Psukim and Shalom Aleichem. That's all from here. Okay, v'tol et enav kinegdal miyasher aglav mivarech b'amir shalosh pim simintov 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 tei l'chol Yisrael baruch baracha baruch yotzecha etc etc rokeid shalosh rakido kinegdal. What else do you do? A little dance. V'omer shalosh pim chaim shi rokeid kinegdal v'inyan gobach kach im yekdu b'nei adam kinegdal lo yigibu tipolem ematav afachad. Okay, let's get that for a second. Tipolem ematav afachad. Who's that a reference to? Yeah, but. Yeah, enemies, right? What should fall upon them? Emetav avachad. Presumably, people are out to get the Jewish people, right? I know they're Iranians or whatever. Ulam afreya, amen, amen, amen. Seluka, v'omer l'chaver shoshpim shalom malacha v'yech lebeito b'leiv tot. Notice, there seems to be like a strong emphasis on mood, right? You could say every mitzvah v'yech lebeito b'leiv tot, right? It sounds like Kiddush Lan is there's something joyous or festive about it, okay? Which will affect some few halachot. Okay, we don't know why we say all these things, but we're going to try to figure it out. All right, before we get to... Actually, we'll go a little out of order. Let's skip the Truman Desh and go to Surah 7, because I think that's a more natural time. Let's see how the timing actually plays out in Shulchan Aruch. Okay. So we'll see a couple of interesting restrictions. You might have noticed that there are two things. Sometimes you find it a little irritating. Like, let's say Yom Kippur comes to an end. You did a great job. You davened very nicely. You're really hungry, which makes sense. And lo and behold, we stick in one more ritual act, right? And we're not done yet. Okay, we got a sneaky Kiddush Levana there. So you have to wait for Marv and Havdalah and Kiddush Levana. So what's going on there that we sneak in Kiddush Levana? Especially because in most years we could have said it before Yom Kippur. Let's say Yom Kippur is on a Monday, right? So we easily could have said Kiddush Levana Saturday night. So what's going on with that? Okay, so let's see what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Ein mekachin levana kodem tishba velo kodem yom kippur. Uvemotze yom kippur mekachin ota az shorin besimcha of lo motzi tishba. Again, where's that theme that we just saw in the second Sofrim? Kiddush Levana is meant to be said? Happy mood. There's supposed to be something joyous about Kiddush Levana. Okay, now what's the problem with before tishba and before yom kippur? See, if you skip down to the Mishnah Berurah, kodem tishba, what does the Mishnah Berurah say? Tishruin bavilut. What's the problem? Well, the 9 days are not exactly the happiest time in Judaism. So even though in theory you could say Kiddush Levana, no, it's not the right mood. We want a more festive Kiddush Levana. Wait till Tisha B'Av's over. Okay? And then Kodim Kippur, next Mishnah Berurah, Degam Kein Uyamin. Oh, that is a great word. Who knows in modern Hebrew what an Iyum is? Aleph Yud Vav Mem. Iyum. Anyone? La'ayim on somebody. Okay, who? Joe Shitra, he was Sanhedrin man. Okay. Yermako man. Okay, so Iyum is to intimidate. When they try to intimidate witnesses, it's called Iyum. Okay, Aleph Yud Vav Mem. So what's he saying? Muyamim mikoach hadin ve'ein shurin b'simcha. So it's not that we're in mourning before Yom Kippur, but there's also something tense about it, more intimidating time about the Day of Judgment. So the claim would be, since Kiddush Levana is supposed to have this happy context, so the first 9 days of Av don't work, and the first 10 days of Tishri don't work, and that's why we wait till after Yom Kippur, then we're able to be joyous. Yeah.
So if we're going to go along the lines for Tisha B'Av saying that, you know, we don't want to say the first 9 days of Av, because there's the sense of Avelus and all that, but don't we observe the Avelus past, let's say, Tisha B'Av into...
So notice one thing that's quite interesting. I'm actually meant to check our practice about this, because what does the Shulchan Aruch say? David's work, very good. What does he say? We wait till the Motzi Yom Kippur, and then we do Kiddush Levana. What about the Tisha B'Av example? What does he say? Lo B'Motzi Tisha B'Av. So he doesn't make a parallel. It's not that he doesn't want you to say Kiddush Levana right after Tisha B'Av. Okay? I'm pretty sure our minhag actually is to say it. I don't remember? Yes, I think minhag is to say it on Motzi Tisha B'Av. But you could make a logical claim, like you said, that we're not in a good mood yet at that point. Yeah, David.
So in that situation, you would do it just the next book to Shabbos after the
Shabbos? Why might that not work, David?
I'm saying that could technically be passive.
Exactly. So that's why you wouldn't. Let's go back for a second, guys. Okay. Let's go back to the Truman Hadeshin for a second. Go back to Source 6. This is actually a very interesting story. The Truman Hadeshin is written by Yisrael Isserlin. In theory, it's Shalot V'Tshuvot, but I don't know how we know this, but I'll tell you something cool. Legend has it that he made up the questions. I'm sorry, what I said? Most Shalot V'Tshuvot, let's say you go to Rav Moshe Feinstein, Igrot Moshe. Rav Moshe Feinstein did not make up the questions. Where did that book come from? Many, many people wrote questions for Moshe Feinstein, and he wrote the answers. In fact, if you open Igrot Moshe, the names of the questioner appears. They're probably people you know there. But you know appear in those questions who asked Moshe Feinstein a question, and he tried to answer it. Oh, JJ, this is for you. Okay, do you know the history of the Memphis Rabbinate?
Not really.
Okay, weren't there two well-known Rebbe Greenblatts in Memphis?
Oh, yeah.
Am I right? They're both Rebbe Greenblatt, right?
And
there you go. So I was learning Igra Moshe with Simon Canales over here, and two chuderos were from Rabbi Greenblatt. Okay, one was from Rabbi Franklin, one was from Rabbi Natan Greenblatt.
Natan is still there.
So I said to Simon, if I recall correctly, they're both from Memphis. Yeah. See, so the Memphis rabbin has a dominant role in Igra Moshe. Okay? Although one complained, they weren't so busy in Memphis, not a lot of time to write Rav Moshe letters. Okay, but, what? My grandfather said, not my father. Yeah. What? Right. Oh, that's right. Another Memphis connection here. Yeah. Oh, what does it mean? I'll explain in 1 second. But according to, I really have to figure out if he said this, someone just figured it out. Why do we know this? But the yeshiva legend is that Rav Yisrael Islin did not receive all these questions, but he thought they were good questions, so he asked himself the question. So he would ask the question and then write the answer. So it's kind of interesting, Shelot V'Tshuvot, where he kind of artificially produced the questions. Okay, that's how the legend goes. Truman Hadet, what? You like that move? Good move. Okay, so Truman Hadeshin is when they would clean out the refuse from the Mizbeach. Okay, and I think he called it that. Oh, where's Simon Kaufman? I think it's because there are, let's forget, what's the Gemachi of Hadeshin? 359, right? It might be the 359 Tshuvot. I think that might be why it's called Truman Hadeshin. I'm not sure. I think that's the reason why. Okay? We're good? Okay, great. So he asked this question. What I like about it is I like in life when there's like a clash of values in halacha. We value this, we value that. Which one wins? I don't know why I like that so much, but I always find it interesting. What, do we really value this or we value that? So here's a very interesting question. Here's a clash, guys. One value might be do mitzvot as soon as possible. Another value might be do mitzvot in the best way possible. But outside of halacha, you could have the same clash. Because that comes all the time. Should I get it done now in a lesser way, or should I wait a couple of days and do it in a better way, right? Outside of halacha, you could have the same clash. So how does halacha view that? So this might be a good example. What are we saying seems to be the best time to say Kiddush Levana? Saturday night. But you could have all kinds of scenarios where you could say Kiddush Levana earlier, right? So that would be a great example. It sounds like which value in this clash of values, sounds like what wins in halacha? Sounds like do it better, right? We'll wait a couple of days and do it better, even though you could do it now. 1 second, David. But he puts a limitation on that. What if I change the clash a little bit? What if it's already the 12th or the 13th of the month? And Motzei Shabbos is 2 days away. What might you say now? Now, it's not so much doing it now versus doing it better. If I don't do it now and I wait to do it better, I'm risking not doing it at all. Let's say I only have one night leeway. Now you might say, okay, I'll do it that night. Why is the one night leeway not a good idea? It might be cloudy, right? You can only see if the moon's visible. So the Truman Hadeshin is a very good compromise. He says, if it's like the 4th or 5th of the month or the 6th of the month, so just wait till Motzei Shabbat, you're not risking that much. So then we do value doing it better over doing it now. However, he says, once you're getting close to the 15th, we would no longer argue that. So that's why in the Tisha B'Av scenario, right, it wouldn't necessarily mean, I don't know who asked me the question, we wouldn't necessarily wait till next Motzei Shabbat. What we might do? Do it on next available weeknight, right, depending on when it is, right? If Tisha B'Av is Sunday, you might not, probably wouldn't wait till next Motzei Shabbat. Okay, we've got this just to sum up for 1 second. I'll take comments. So the Truman Hadeshin gives us like a value system. If you got a lot of leeway, waiting to do it better is worth it. If you're afraid of missing it, then waiting to do it better is not worth it. Yeah, David Lushitz.
So then, would it be better to do it on a weekday after Tisha B'Av before the next Shabbat?
Yeah, I think usually. Or unless Tisha B'Av was very late in the week.
I'm saying, or if there were Shabbat before, like the Shabbat before.
No, I think we would never, that was a very clever question. Ever catch what David just asked? That was really clever. No, what, you got it? Okay. He's saying the following. Let's say Tisha B'Av is Tuesday. Okay? So, I have a Motzei Shabbat, and therefore, actually, make it Tuesday?
Maybe
it's either Monday or something. Yeah, just not your Tisha B'Av can't fall on Monday, but fine. Let's say Tisha B'Av is Monday. Okay, let's say Tisha B'Av is Monday. So, he's going to say, we're not going to wait for the Motzei Shabbos after Tisha B'Av, because that's too risky. It's already going to be the 14th of the month. But now I still have two options. I could say it Tuesday night, Wednesday night, or I could say it the Saturday night before Tisha B'Av. Like maybe if I'm nervous about doing it after Tisha B'Av, but I think the answer is we just don't like saying it when you're not besimcha. I think we'd still prefer a weeknight over that. Okay, very good. Who has a question? Jacob.
Why is Moshe Shabbos considered besimcha when it, in their idea, like Shabbos gets closer to the end?
Well, I think it's because you're right, but it's because you're dressed up nicely and you just smell some in. I think it has to do with like your more festive garb. Do I understand what you're saying? But I think that's the answer. Isaac.
Maybe the Mishnah Berurah is like using the cases of Yom Kippur and Tish B'Av, there's a contrast between them. On Yom Kippur, you can say on a Saturday night, on Tish B'Av, you can't. Being that Yom Kippur, you kind of have the idea that you're going to, like, it's a happy when it ends, like, with like the whole. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. You know, I think it's right. It's similar to David Zwick's point, right?
Well, I think it makes a point on like the nature of Saturday night, what he was talking about.
Yeah.
The fact that you can say it on a Saturday night shows that you shouldn't be sad on a Saturday night. Like,
okay, there you go. Good, very good. Okay, let's move a little bit more. Get one more theme. Okay, if you go to the Shulchan Aruch in the fourth line, he says, V'nogin l'mar David mechasel chai v'kayam. Why would we throw in David? Had David get in there? Shemal chutonim shalvana. Excellent. Apparently, not just Am Yisrael is compared to the moon, but so is the Davidic monarchy. And then the theme would be obvious. Vatid l'chadesh kimota. What would be the theme once again? Just like Am Yisrael manages to get up off the mat, as it were, that's how we anticipate also with the Davidic line. Okay, so you can also understand what you're throwing to David HaMelech. There's the sense of renewal, the sense of making a comeback, and that's why the Davidic monarchy theme comes in also. Okay, terrific. Okay, there's one thing we have not addressed yet, which is when you should start saying it. Okay, we talked about the end time, and indeed our minhag is halfway through the month, which makes a lot of sense, while the moon is growing. But when should you start? Now, there is a theoretical position, and we'll see that Rambam seems to take it, which we don't follow. What might be the simplest answer? When can you start saying it? As soon as possible, which would mean whenever the new moon appears, you could say it. Right, that'd be the simplest. So from the first day. Just realize one thing, just to make a distinction. I'm not talking necessarily Aleph of the month, but what's called the Molad. You notice like Shabbos before the Gabbai gets up and says when the Molad will be? Okay, what does that mean when the Molad will be? When astronomically does the new moon actually become visible? That's what the Molad is. Okay, I always find it funny, like when I was a kid, in many shuls, they still like announced it in Yiddish, because like the old Gabbai would do it. But no one understood it in words, so it didn't really make any sense. Okay, but I don't think that happens too much. Anybody where they're doing Yiddish in Lorient, in Cleveland, do they do it in Yiddish? Do they announce the Molad in Yiddish?
Yes, no.
No? Okay. Okay. So that means you don't know when the Molad is?
That's right.
Okay. Okay, so in any case, but when can you start? So you could say for the first day possible. Okay, look at the Shulchan Aruch. I want everyone to ask me a killer question. Look at Shulchan Aruch Dalet. Ein mevarkin alea, achiyavu shivat yamim alea. What does the Shulchan Aruch say? Not till 7 days pass. Hagag Ramayetz, the Ein Makach and Levana Tachat Hagag. You're supposed to be out in the open, not under roof. That's why I always say upstairs, guys. I always request the guys, like, leave the awning to say Kiddush Levana. You now know where it came from. Right, the Ramah says, don't do it under a roof. But wait, let's go back to when to start. According to the Shulchan Aruch, and this is indeed the Sephardi position, at what point of the month should you do it?
7 days.
After 7 days. Okay, who has a killer question on the Shulchan Aruch?
Isaac. 7 days after the 9th of Av, it's the 16th of
Av. No. He's not saying 7 days after the 9th of Av, 7 days after the Molad. Right, wait till 7 days after Rosh Chodesh, after the Molad. Yes. Excellent question. Okay, we'll get there in 1 second. So let us go to... I'm going to explain right now. We're going to see it inside. Don't worry. Okay, very good, Simon. Okay, before we get there, let's go to the Mishnah Berurah Chaf. I just want to give them the third position, which is the standard Ashkenazi position. Okay. Cape Denim, did they do a good Kiddush Levana there in Baal Kinwood? Were you aware that Sephardim wait a week? You were not aware of that. Okay, we don't have Charles in here today. Or Jamie Jacob, really struggling here. Okay, David Benizzi, are you Sephardi?
Yeah.
Okay, do you know that Sephardim wait a week?
Sorry?
Did you know that Sephardim wait a week for Kiddush Levana? Okay, here we go. So what's the standard Ashkenazi position? Okay, by our Sephardi blood is weak today, cheer glory, guys. Okay, let's look at Chaf. Oh, we don't have, where's Andrew Arkin? Okay, wow. Okay, Yair is here?
Yeah.
Yeah, where are you? Do you know that Sephardim wait a week? Okay, here we go. What?
Okay. Of course we do that.
Okay, Achi Yavu Shiva. What does he say? The Rove Achon and Pli yells at. Vilu Didu Al Kopen Lachar Gimel Yamim. When can you do it? 3 days. So we got the 1 day theory, just do it as a student of the new moon. Got the 7 day theory, got the 3 day theory. We'll explain in a second where the 3 day theory comes from. This is good revision, guys. This is May 8. I know what that would mean, May 8 late? Yeah, but what does that mean in context? That's when you have a halacha that depends on, like, precision. If the moon showed up at 3:12, you have 72 hours from 3:12. That's me'eit late from that exact time. Okay, me'eit hamolad. Why? Here we go. Shenenin kfar me'ora. What's he getting at? So what's the claim? Why would anyone say 3 days? The idea is that somehow it's illuminating enough that you can enjoy the moon. So apparently when it just comes back, it's just a minor sliver of light. We don't feel so good about it yet. That's why 3 days. Okay, so we got the logic of the one-day position. The Wednesday, once the moon's there, it's there. Who cares? We got the logic of the three-day position. You're waiting for a certain minimum of light to enjoy the illumination. And we're still not sure where in the world the seven-day position came. Okay, but in general, guys, right, Ashkenazim wait 72 hours and Sephardim wait 7 days. Sekir Shlavana. Okay, that's why you might have noticed, even if Rosh Chodesh is Friday, you often won't say Kiddush Levana Motzei Shabbat. Okay, why is that? Because you still didn't have the 3 days passing. Right, so when that happens, we tend to not say Kiddush Levana until the next Motzei Shabbat. Okay, by the way, I'm pretty sure, you guys maybe will guess it, if I said Sephardim followed the 7 day position and Ashkenazim followed the 3 day position, who do you think might follow the 1 day position? If it's Rambam, oh, that was funny. Okay, that was a good joke. Yeah, the Yemenites. Go check it out, guys, at your local Yemenite synagogue. I believe you'll discover they'll say Kiddush Levana even on the day after Rosh Chodesh. Because they love Rambam. They are more dedicated to Rambam even than the Sephardim. So if the Rambam says from the first day, the Yemenites go with it. Okay, yeah, Josh.
When you say the 3 day position or a 7 day position, should we have at least 3 days or at least 7 days?
Yeah, yeah. No one says that's the only time to say it. Okay?
Is this 3 days or 7 days after the Molad?
After the Molad, yeah, after the Molad.
When is Molad?
It's usually around Rosh Chodesh, but that's why it's good to listen. Okay, you can listen to the Gabbai and find out when the Molad is. Okay, now we're going to see something quite interesting. Okay, Simon Kaufman, you can wake up for this part. Okay, go to the Aruch HaShulchan. Okay, go to Yud Gimel. Okay, this is the third page. Okay, remember guys that the Aruch HaShulchan, the Mishnah Berurah contemporaries, and the Aruch HaShulchan, what are the two differences? How is the Aruch HaShulchan different from the Mishnah Berurah? One is scope, that it covers all four Chalkim and Shulchan Aruch, and the other is depth, a lot more background. Notice it's a lot bigger. Okay, look at the Aruch HaShulchan Yud Gimel. Here we go. He's going to ask a killer question, and we're going to have something for Simon Kaufman. He's not going to be happy though. Me'em etzai mutu l'kadesh levana. When can you do it? Harambam pekin rebrachu din zayin katav im lo berchala b'leil harishon mevarach la'ad shetim alei b'gimata. What did the Rambam say? You didn't do it the first night you have, as long as the moon is still being filled in. Mevur le'ed yeshagam b'yom rishon me'amolad yachol v'areich. What does it sound like? You could do it from day one, right? There's the Rambam Yemenite position. Okay, then he quotes the 2 or 3 day position, and then he quotes the 7 day position. Okay, let's skip down to, you see where it says Bach in brackets? Okay, here we go. Where did the 7 day position come from? V'yesh lid palei al Rabbeinu Abet Yosef b'siv dalet lid palei. What's the root of lid palei? Yeah, it's wondrous, but not in the sense of it's wonderful. It's like impossible to understand. Shekatav Ein Mavark Lad Shev Shivat Yomela. How could Rabbi Yosef Karo say you have to wait 7 days? What's the problem? Vekatav Besivrog Gadol. Let's see where he got it from first, guys. Shekatav Harav Yosef Jekatila. I don't know who that is. Simon Kaufman, your only hope here.
I have no clue.
Okay. He is a well-known Kabbalist from the Middle Ages who wrote a famous book called Shari Ora that explains the Sefirot. Okay, so it sounds like the source of the 7 day position is some Kabbalistic idea. I have to admit, I have no idea what it is, and go ask Rabbi Aaron. But we know the logic of the 1 day, we know the logic of the 3 days, the logic of the 7 days is something based on Kabbalah. But look what he says. V'tema, eich hiniach dat rabotenu v'tafas dea yechida. Hakar Yosef Karo, tafas dea yechida, sees this individual opinion. This is not mainstream. Where did the 7 day thing come from? V'ein darko b'kach. The Ode Hikshuav, and now he asks the Simon Ganellis question. You could say that this Kabbalistic position is against the Gemara. Why? Dabi Gemara Yeshmi Shesover Dachar Sheva Ein Lakadesh. That is a killer question. Let's go back to that second Gemara we saw in Sanhedrin. It was not asking when you start, it was asking when you stop. What were the two positions? Either you have 7 days, you have 15 days. But wouldn't it be a little bit odd to say, you can't say Kiddush Levana until 7 days pass, and you have 7 days to say Kiddush Levana. Those two things do not go together very well. Right? Don't understand the problem? So how could there have been a position in the Gemara that says you stop after 7 days if you could only start after 7 days? So if the Ashkenazim are right, you do it after 3 days. If the Rambam is right, you do it after 1 day. Everything makes sense in the Gemara. Then you can debate, do you stop after day 7 or day 15? But how could anyone say you have 7 days, you can't start till 7 days, if someone thinks you stop after 7 days? So it seems like this is against the Gemara. Okay, someone had a way to solve it?
Maybe like the first opinion of Yaakov in the Gemara of Yehuda was just, maybe like that's how it's, then not the socks for you.
No, but in the Gemara you have no debate about when to start. You just debate when to stop. So if you think there was like a universal agreement there, when to start, it couldn't have been after 7 days.
Yeah, yeah.
You
could have to be after 7 days, but maybe you
don't stop. No, but we don't have any evidence tomorrow that we can debate about this point when to start. Yeah, John.
I mean, there are two reasons tomorrow. Maybe from this about the start of the idea.
I mean, you want to say basically that even though we don't hear about it tomorrow, there was also a debate about when to start. Meaning the guy who said day 7 said, for sake of argument, day 1 to 7. The other guy said day 8 to 15. Okay. Basically, you might be right, John, because you have to pause the debate we didn't know about. Even though it doesn't say that, there was a lurking debate there in the Gemara as well about when to start. Yeah?
It says,
you have to do it on the day after. But why is it a Gemara? I mean, if it's against the Gemara, it's not a Gemara.
Why is it necessarily against the Gemara?
Well, how could it simultaneously be true that you have only 7 days to say it, and you can only do it after 7 days? How could those two things be both true? Yeah. Okay, yeah?
Counting from a different spot. It's 7 days from when you can say it originally. They're not counting from a Kodesh.
Okay, and what about the second position? What's it doing?
7 days counting from 7 days after Rosh Chodesh.
Right, although it's kind of misleading to have two positions next to each other and they're not starting from the same starting point. Yeah, Jonah? Interesting. No, but doesn't it still contradict each other even on the L'Chadkil level, as it were?
One is until the seventh or up to the seventh? Like through the seventh or after?
I mean, you want to say there's a one-day discrepancy there. And that explains it. That's what Simon just said. Right? Simon said that to the one scripture. All right. I'm not saying it can't be answered, but realize there is a difficulty with the Sephardi position. Yeah. Guys, don't think I'm... let me do something before I insult any Sephardi. Here, don't worry. Okay, guys, there are a lot of halakhic debates which clear the Sephardim are right. So it's okay. You guys can be wrong once. It's okay. Okay, for example, I'll give you two just to make the Sephardim happy. Okay, should a person wear a tallit before they're married?
Yes.
So it's true that the prevalent Ashkenazi minhag is not to, but there's basically no explanation for that whatsoever. Meaning, there's no link in halakha between the mitzvah of tzitzis and... Like, what if I walked in one day and say, you only take a lulav if you're married? You'd also say, that's ridiculous. Right? So that's basically what this is. Semar Ashkenazi decided you only wear a tal gadol if you're married. So you're smart and you're right about that one. Okay, and what about saying Birkat Kohanim every day of the week? Right? Where Sephardim and Chutzlaretz do, and Ashkenazim and Chutzlaretz do not. Guys, once again, they're right about that one too. Right, there's no linkage between Birkat Kohanim and Chagim. Right, so we say, oh, we'll only say Birkat Kohanim when it's a Chag. Okay, so now that I said they're right about this, we can say they're wrong about Kiddush Lavan. It's okay. Yeah, Josh.
Is it possible when it says Shabbat, Shabbos, not
seventh day? No, again, but it's going to be weird if the until 7, until 15 are not using the same starting point. So, then the Gemara is incredibly misleading. If the Gemara says, until when can you say it? X says till 7, Y says till 15. To tell me they're not working off the same starting point is a very misleading way to present things. Right? Okay, yeah, David?
I think Josh is saying that Shiva doesn't necessarily mean 7th day, it just means till Shabbos.
Till Shabbos, you could say it?
Yeah. That's even worse.
You still don't solve the problem, right? The mathematical problem gets more problematic. Correct, Simon. Right, if Rosh Chodesh is Wednesday, let's say I have 4 days to say it. But then the Sephardim tell me I can't tell him to say it until 7 days past. Yes, you're right. Okay, so you did adjust it. You just adjusted things and made it infinitely worse. Okay, we're good? Okay, so we're going to move to the last two issues now. But we got our halacha down. When do you say Kiddush Lavana? Okay, so if you ask Yemenites, they're based on Rambam. Day one. Classic Ashkenazi minhag. Wait 3 days. What's the logic of Ashkenazi minhag? Waiting for the light to be enjoyable. Okay, classic Sephardi minhag. Wait 7 days. What's that minhag rooted in? Some Kabbalistic idea we're not sure about. Okay, we'll have to ask the Kabbalist. Okay, next. Until when can you say it? We might have debate 7 or 15. We paskin 15. What's the obvious idea? The halfway part of the month, right? Till the moon is getting larger. Okay, what is the optimum time to say it based on the Sefer Sofrim? Motzei Shabbat, that's what we tend to do. But if Motzei Shabbat is getting close to the cutoff point, then we're not going to wait anymore because we're afraid you're going to miss. Okay, so now we got the timing down. Let's get to the last two issues. Yeah?
What's the reason for the 7 days
of the Gemara? Oh, why would the Gemara say till seven? That's a good question. It's just, I did not find a good explanation. I probably should look a little bit more. Okay, right, you're saying the moon's still getting bigger. Why shouldn't we just keep doing it? Yeah, that's an interesting question. I'm not sure. Okay, we should speculate about that. Okay, let's go back to the women's issue here, guys. Okay, so let us go to the Mishnah Berurah of HaShulchan, and we'll see a great Chacham HaShulchan to close it off. Okay, so we like women's issues here, and all right, okay, so let us go to, where's the women's issue here in the Mishnah Berurah? Let me just find it. Oh, there it is, the first one. Okay, that's why I can't find it. Okay, the first Mishnah Berurah, we're going to see, what about women in Kiddush Levana? Yeah?
Isn't there an idea, I think it's a Megillah that says that Kiddush
Levana
was created for women?
Ah, that's good. That's very interesting. Say maybe women and moons are somehow, yeah. There's a whole idea that Rosh Chodesh is a women's holiday. Right? There's some women's groups that meet every Rosh Chodesh. You guys ever see that?
No.
Okay, there you go. Okay, so we're going to see that in a second. Okay, is Jonah K here or you lost him? You lost him? Okay. What can you do? I went to make fun of his haircut, but he's not here. Because I noticed that there's a new haircut in Yeshiva, like all the cool guys have it. And you have no hair on the side and a huge amount of hair in the middle. Okay, it is the Jordy Wild, Jonah Kay, and the Uri Lorca's haircut. Okay, are you ready? A little different there. Did you cut off more? What happened?
No.
Okay. All right, Ryan's right. You just don't have the cool guy haircut, I'm sorry. Okay. All right, so let's go to the story with women's issues. Okay, so what is Mishnah Berurah Paskin? Mishnah Berurah says, the Nashim, and the first Mishnah Berurah, Nashim Ptur Milkada Shalavana, Davi Mitzvah Rasei Shizman Grama. So what is the class of Pesach here? Well, it's certainly a positive act. It's not a lotase, it's not a prohibition. And it seems to be time-bound, but I do it certain days of the month. So that would be classic Mitzvah Rasei Shizman Grama. So women would not be obligated. Okay, terrific. Now what's the obvious next point? Wait. But what's our standard psak for mitzvah d'ashei z'man grama? Women might not be obligated, but they're certainly capable of doing it, and it's good for them to do it, right? We should encourage our wives and sisters and daughters to sit in a sukkah and take a lulav and hear shofar, right? We do tend to encourage the performance of mitzvah d'ashei z'man grama. So what's happening here? So he goes on to say, v'yavtakol mitzvah d'ashei z'man grama no'agod ha'nashim shimekaimot m'vachot alehen. Not only mekaimot, what does he throw in there for Ashkenazim? They do the man, they make a brach on them. Now, I have to figure out when this happened. Something very interesting happened. I don't know when it happened. Somehow, our tradition seems to conflate two different events from the beginning of biblical history. Because what would it mean, heim garmu pagam alavana? How do we blame women for the moon getting smaller? Because what are we somehow conflating? The sin of Eitz Hadad with the lessening, the diminishing of the moon. Which I'm not sure midrashly, Simon Kaufman, you should do some research for us. I'm not sure midrashly how those two things got linked. Okay, it's true that Chava is the initiator of the Chet of Eitz Hadad, that's true. And it's true there's a midrash that the moon complained and therefore the moon got smaller. But when did those two things somehow intersect in Jewish history? That this kind of became this association of women and the moon? So I think it's kind of interesting that women and the moon kind of cut both ways. Like here there's more like a more negative take on it. Which obviously you're right. In other parts of Jewish lore, there's a more positive take on it. Okay, but that's what he claims. That's why the minhag developed for women to not say Kiddush Levana. Okay, so again, by the way, it doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. Your wife shouldn't do it. We'll discuss that in a second. But so far, we have two arguments. First part of the argument is, well, the reason they're not obligated is because it's a mitzvah shezman grama. Second part of the argument, okay, even though normally they would fulfill such things, here, because it's extra moon thing, there's a minhag not to do it. Okay, yeah, Jonah. Oh, very good. Okay, Jonah's absolutely right. That was quite clever what he just said. Okay, in fact, I should have realized that right away. Okay, you might think that women certainly have an aspect because the menstrual period. Obviously, there's an aspect that's much more cyclical. So women would connect to cyclical things. And to make Jonah's point even stronger, okay, many women, let's say their period would be something like 26 days for the sake of argument. Okay, so obviously, if that's your time period, you're kind of, it's hard not to relate that to the lunar cycle, right? So yeah, that's very good. I think Jonah's absolutely right. Just naturally, people would relate women to the lunar cycle in a way that, okay, we men have all kinds of things, but it's always to connect us to the lunar cycle. Okay, so, but for women, there's an obvious connection. You're absolutely right, Jonah. Very good. Okay, let us go to the Aruch HaShulchan, and then we'll see a clever svar at the end. Okay, how does the Aruch HaShulchan relate to women's issues? Okay, so let's go to the Aruch HaShulchan, back to Yud Gimel. But we are going to take it from, let's see, the last three lines, Yud Dal, sorry. Mishabur, Aruch HaShulchan, Yud Dal. Vanashim, it's the last three lines. Lo nagu berkat levana. He also notices, he looks around Poland, Lithuania, women are not saying Kiddush Levana. Give key mitzvah seishes man grama upturot. Okay, but that's just why they're not chayav. It's not a reason to refrain. The av shebekama mitzvot asei nagula kayem isn't the custom that they do fulfill them. Kamo shofar velula v'suka mikomo kam bezel lo nago. Somehow the minhag is they don't do it. Look, he says now uvegemara shamashm lehedya to be a mayam ayugam anashim bevarchot bracha k'tzara. What does he say though? He wants to claim that if you go back to Sanhedrin Membet, what's the simplest reading of the Gemara? That women, remember what happened when the first guy said, you only say Baruch Makadesh Chadashim, what was Rav Ashi's response? Baruch Hashem, women say that. So there's two ways to take that. Jonah Sobel's right. You could knock out the proof. What was Jonah's reading of that? Even our women are less learned, they would be able to say that. But how is he reading it? That women actually said that. Women said Baruch Makadesh Chadashim. So it could be that our minhag, if that's true, would again be against the Gemara. Maybe the Gemara implies women can say Kiddush Levana, or maybe did say Kiddush Levana. Okay, we're good? Okay, great. So let's try to justify, if that's true, what the source of that would be. But here's a good, I'll give you a very good liberal psak, guys. Whatever you do is okay. If your sister doesn't say it, you could say it. I know you don't say it, because the Mishnah Berurah, the Aruch HaShulchan, or the Mishnah Berurah. If she does say it, you could say, I could justify it, you do say it also. Okay, yeah, Isaac.
It seems like the Gemara and Sanhedrin, the reason why they extended the bracha so much was directly
no, it was to say, to make it a more serious bracha. Three words is not serious. Anybody could say three words.
And therefore, women would not say yes.
Not necessarily, just to be harder for them to memorize.
So then what's the point of making it longer?
Because it's a more serious bracha.
Women are going to say it anyway. But like, I don't understand if that's a response to the thing that women say.
Okay, I don't know. Let's say, I don't know, I'll pick on Ryan's words. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's say we're trying to make an impressive pile, right? So we're piling. What we're piling up? We're piling up. I need an item. What? Whatever it is. Okay, we're piling up basketballs. Okay, and then I'm not so impressed with the pile. I said, that's not so impressive pile. Ryan Swearing can reach the top, right? So if I say that, what am I trying to say to you? Make a bigger pile. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm not telling you to like stop there. Right, so if we say that's not an impressive bracha, even people who are not so learned can say it. I'm telling you, make a more impressive bracha. Put more stuff there. Okay? We're good? Okay. Ryan, don't worry, you can still impersonate tall people, Ryan. It still works. Okay, so let's go. What? Let's go to source 10. Okay? That's what Ryan, we're doing. Work out. You have to work on your Hakeem Olajuwon impersonation. Your Yao Ming impersonation. Okay, let's go. Chachma Shlomo. Okay, source 10. Okay. What's good? We got here. Can you do Yao Ming? Can you do Yao Ming? No. Okay. Let's get it. Zach Moshe. Okay. Haro Levana bechidusha. Near beinat. Ayn b'magen Avram. Shekat of the Birkat Levana having mitzvah asayish man gram of nashim p'turot. What has everyone been assuming thus far? Obviously, Kiddush Levana is mitzvah asayish man gram. In which case, women are still not obligated. The only question is, being not obligated, should they still perform it? Okay, but what if we throw a monkey wrench into that? Let's see. V'katav kein b'shem ha'shlach kadosh. Okay? U'ledati zehu tamua ma'od. V'ein lo inyan klal mitzvah neshe zman grama. Boy, the Chachma Shlomo is an acha known as Rav Shlomo Kluger. So what does Rav Shlomo Kluger claim? Kiddush Levana is not a mitzvah neshe zman grama. It is a remarkable theory. Because we say, why not? It's a positive commandment. And it's from day X to day Y. What could be more Zman Grama than that? Anyone try to take before you read on? Anyone try to take a stab? Why he thinks it's not Zman Grama? It seems like the most classic Zman Grama ever. Okay, why would it not be Zman Grama? Something else.
Can you say this is not caused by a day of the year, but it's caused by something that shifts?
Interesting. Simon is on the right track. What if we say that something that's limited by a physical phenomena is not the same as something that's limited by a calendar date? We'll get there in 1 second. Is that what you say, David?
No.
Good.
Well, isn't it parallel to other mitzvahs on Grama that women are still obligated to do?
Okay, look, there are a lot of exceptions, but why should the moon be one of them?
I'm saying, but there's usually a correlation between exceptions that because the women were involved in whatever the mitzvah was. So when we first learned about Dirkana Kodesh and this whole concept of having the moon, it was when we were taking out an exile, it wasn't just the men that were taking out an exile.
Okay, that's good, although it's not so obvious that the moon bracha is kind of a zechel and ace. Okay, but it's clever though. Yeah, Jonah. Okay. Oh, that's clever. Yeah.
So it's not like you said, only one or several days.
All right. Interesting. Okay. So let's see where he goes with it. Okay. Let's see where he goes with it. The klal zelonem arak b'mitzvah, the guf ha-mitzvah shaycha tamid b'chol yom b'chol zman. What does it mean, guf ha-mitzvah shaycha tamid? In theory, I could make this mitzvah anytime. Right? I could eat matzah any day of the year, in theory. Okay? Could go in b'matzah or sukkah b'lul k'doma. The mitzvah zu efshar l'keyeh b'cheshvan, k'mo b'tishrei, v'iyar, k'mo b'nisan, v'yafal p'ikin amra Torah, sh'b'yam alalo chayav, u'mikan v'elech patur. Now, what's his definition of zman grama? Someone's where time, so to speak, artificially comes in and limits performance. I could do it any day of the year. By the way, sukkah might be a better example for you. Because Pesach, you might all be thinking, of course, Pesach has to be a certain calendar day. Why is sukkah a good example? Because really, in theory, you ever notice this? Okay, if I ask you, why is Pesach in Nisan, what's the answer? Because that's the month that we come out of Egypt. If I ask you, why is Shavuot in Sivan, you'd probably say, that's the month of Mount Torah. If I ask you, why is Sukkot in Tishrei, it could have been any day of the year. A lot of Mepharshim try to forget why it's in Tishrei. Right, Sukkot is commemorating an event that was all year round. So the Ayin say, in theory, you could have done it any day of the year. What happens? Comes the halacha and limits it to a certain calendar day. Says the Chacham HaShulchan Aruch, that is called Zman Grama. I could have done any day. Now he wants to say, even for matzah, I could have eaten matzah any day of the year. I eat matzah on a certain day of Nisan. Okay, here we go. Is the miniyah coming from the calendar date? No, what's causing you, holding you back? It's simply the physical reality of the moon. It's not that we halakha comes in like artificially restricts it to a certain day. You can make the bracha any day as long as the moon is growing. It happens to be that the moon grows on certain days of the month and not on other days of the month. Says Rosh Shlomo Kluger, that is not Zman Grama. So that's a very interesting chidush, and you'd have to think, are there other places in the Jewish, just fathers thought away, are there other mitzvah where this could come up? Where the limitation is not an artificial calendar date, as it were, the limitation is somehow rooted in the natural order. Because if that's true, that you could come up with other svarot, we will no longer apply the p'tur of Zman Grama to those scenarios. But notice how far we've gone. According to the Chachmat Shlomo, not only would you say women can say Kiddush Levana, you'd actually say they have to say Kiddush Levana. So before the last comments, guys, we now have three interesting positions about Kiddush Levana. Okay, about women. You could say there's a minhag not to do it. Okay, what would that be based on? You have to throw two things in. A, well, they're obviously not chayav because it's mitzvah asay. And B, some midrashic association with the sin of the moon, that's why women don't say it. Okay, you can have a middle position. Women are not obligated to say it because it's Zman Grama, but it's no different than shofar, sukkah, and lulav, and they could say it. Right, that sounds like the Aruch HaShulchan's position. You could have the Chacham HaShlomo's position, which is no, women are obligated to say it. Right, this is not Zman Grama because it's not a calendar date that limits the time. It's simply the astronomical reality. Okay, Ezra Blau.
Is that the same with like Rosh Chodesh? Because we established the calendar before that, it was just remember the moon, and that's how we established whatever Rosh Chodesh was.
Well, which mitzvah Rosh Chodesh are you thinking about? You have to tell me specific mitzvah we would.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not so obvious which mitzvah we're thinking. Now, your question is a good question, but you have to apply it somewhere.
I have to apply it.
No. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, Halal on Rosh Chodesh is a bad example.
Yeah,
why is that a bad example? What?
That would be on Halal.
Also, because Halal is not a mitzvah on Rosh Chodesh, it's a minhag.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Isn't the calendar system also called Bedouin?
Yeah, but that doesn't change the fact that when we're choosing when to sit in a sukkah, we're not controlled by any astronomical reality. We could have sat in a sukkah on any day of the year. And we chose to limit it to this date and to straight to another date. I mean, halacha gives us what I call this artificial constriction of something we could have been any day. But with... What about Brit Mila? Ah, so who's learning Kedushin Kaftet with Rav Davidol? Ah, The Chutzah Skura, how's it going there? Okay, guys, Jacob Rockman's going to publish a companion volume, right? His opening volume was the Chutzah Ptucha, but then he moved on to the Chutzah Skura. Unfortunately, scholars have noticed the tendency that he became much more fanatical between the first volume and the second volume. Okay. Yeah, Jacob, what do you want to say?
We learned that in Ram Shir that versus recently the reason a female a mother is not chiyav in Brismila because it's a
Okay, so if you read Kedushin Chavtet, it's disgusting if Bar Mila should be. I have to admit, I don't remember the details, but I remember it does come up there, should view Mila as Mangwam or not. Okay, so take a look over there, it might be relevant to the question. Okay, is it in the Gemara, it's in Tosfot there?
I believe it's in
You guys remember? Aaron Breven, is it in the Gemara or in Tosfot, whether Mila is Mangwam or not? I think it's just in Tosfot, right? What does Tosfot say?
Tosfot says it's actually not. Like they should be
having
it. That's why they're
doing
the
process. Yeah, but why is it not
Tzman
Grumman? What does
Tosu
say?
He said
Tzman
Grumman
because... very good. Excellent, very good. Who said that? JJ, very good. Tosu says since it's from day 8 and forever, that's why it's not Tzman Grumman. So it's a different point. It's interesting. He doesn't raise this point.
No, but then I forget who else we're looking at outside commentators. They said that maybe it's because Tzman Grumman has nothing to do with the mom, it's with the son. Like, technically, he...
Okay, interesting. But the point is, there could be other reasons why it's not Zman Grama, irrespective of this far.
Yeah,
last two questions. Al.
Could you argue that Grappa, you make on natural phenomena, the rainbow, is
Zman Grama? But I think that would fit the Chacham and Shlomo perfectly. Meaning, a rainbow could appear any moment and you make a Grappa. It's true, I'm limited, but I'm limited by a natural phenomenon, not limited by the calendar.
Yeah, is that
And therefore, it's certainly not Zman Grama. Right? I think even the Chacham Shlomo's opponents would admit that that's not Zman Grama. Yeah, Joe?
This may be a little bit of a stretch, but isn't the usual song for like why women are arguing about it's not actually Zman Grama because like they're on their own like cycles themselves? Right? They have, like,
there are all kinds of speculations given, but none of them are particularly obvious that that's correct.
Right, you would say that like perhaps like it's not time that's restricting like these restrictions on them, but really like the natural thing that's going. Evidence by the fact that like their cycles aren't always consistent, it's like, not always the same day of the month. You brought up Shlomo's argument to that, and you would say that they're not obligated to Zman Grama.
You think it's a reason for them to be chayiv in Kishuvan or Pater? You're sorry.
No, they'd be chayiv because it's not like a time that's restricting them. It's a natural phenomenon that may or may not happen. Therefore, like they like miss their, like the fact that they couldn't miss.
But why is it may or may not happen? I mean, the moon seems to be pretty consistent about this one.
No, I'm not talking about Kishuvan in general. I'm talking about like women being under the umbrella of Mr. Chayiv.
Okay, I'm still not getting your story, but you'll explain to me a little bit later. I'm sorry, Joe. All right, guys. Now, next month, when we say Kishmai, we'll have some understanding of what we're doing. Everybody have a great job.